This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Put your hand on the radio.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
Can somebody shout amen?
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242.
You know, sometimes in court, everybody's seen this, whether you're in court or not, I mean, you've seen it on TV. If one of the lawyers, one of the sides, wants to discuss something that may not be a subject that you should talk about publicly for whatever reason, you ask the judge if you can see him or her at sidebar, correct? We all saw it during the Karen Reed trial. And so then both the prosecution and the defense, or if it's a civil case, both sides, they go up and they see the judge at the side of the bench. And then they discuss it The court reporter is still there. She's taking notes, or he's taking notes, but it's not made public. It seems to me that this guy Boland, I don't know if he's being set up as the fall guy here. But why didn't he, if he thought this thing was germane, and it obviously was germane, but why didn't he just ask for a side judge? Can I see you at the? Can we have a sidebar conference here? I want to discuss something. This guy's a murderer, Judge. He's an accused murderer. Or is it possible that Boland knew, knowing this woman's Marxist record, knowing what she did with Laura Libby, you know, refusing to allow her to exercise her First Amendment rights as an elected representative of the people? Do you think maybe Boland knew that it wouldn't really matter if the judge knew anything or not? And again, it was a public press release 2 weeks before the hearing that this guy was an accused murderer. And you're telling me nobody told her? No, she's that dumb? 844-500-4242. Got a great story from the National Review, The Absurd Rise of Graham Plattner by Jim Garrity. He sums it all up. We're going to tweet out the story. But first, we'll take a couple of calls on Iran before I read this about Graham. It really puts everything in a good perspective about how absurd it is that he's done nothing but go up in the polls since the Democrats found out he had a Nazi tattoo. And again, these are the very same people who wanted to disqualify Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War because he had a Jerusalem cross tattoo. That was disqualifying, but an SS death's head tattoo makes him one of nature's noblemen. That's what they're saying. That's what the Democrats are saying. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, Howie. I wanted to just make a comment, quick comment about the Iranian nuclear issue. And it's simply this. I don't hear many people talking about it, but if other countries think Iran, especially in the Mideast, think Iran has a bomb or is about to get a bomb, they're going to want one too, because they
exactly
know that probably we're not going to protect them. And the next thing you're going to know is 10 fingers on 10 buttons. and they'll blow the whole price up. It's crazy.
Right. I mean, I think people know that. It hasn't been talked about much during this current situation, but the Arabs certainly understand it. Do you know who's helping the United Arab Emirates, get into a more lethal defensive position against Iran, Richard? The Israelis. Because you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's it. The enemy of my enemy. So the UAE, I mean, they're not the worst of the bunch over there, but you know, they're still Muslims. They don't like Israel, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend. UAE doesn't want to blow Israel off the map. The Iranians do. Thanks for the call, Richard. Charlie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Charlie.
Howie, how you doing, old man?
Good.
I was stationed in Key West, Florida back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I worked with the Naval Ordnance Unit down there. And we had scientists and engineers come from all over North America, whether it was MIT or Caltech or whatever, to test weapons for the future. Believe me, stuff we're using today started back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and whatever. But we trained dolphins at that time to carry explosives under the warning nets in Vietnam. But this was down in Key West. We had big pens set up. And the biggest problem we had was to find a harness large enough that can hold a certain amount of explosives at the time.
Yeah, because they're pretty big, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. But now with new technology for explosives, if the Iranians try to perfect a way to get dolphins to carry explosives, it might be worthwhile, but the military ships are really made out of hardened steel and usually double hulled.
Right.
So they get a whole school of dolphins.
Charlie, you have experience with dolphins. They tell us how smart dolphins are. Would a dolphin be really smart to strap on some explosives and go try to blow up the USS Gerald Ford at the behest of some Muslim savages in Tehran?
Right, it's almost impossible today with the technology and the sensors that are in the water and around ships and the submarines and all the other safety gear that they have. But the dolphins themselves are very, very smart, but if they get stressed at all, they lose it. They would do whatever they could to get rid of the heavy weight on the back of a dolphin.
So they're like Democrats, Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. But we worked for months perfecting the harness as the engineers and scientists. This is back in 68 in Key West. They perfecting a harness to carry enough explosives to go into Vietnam, different harbors, and blow up ships. So we did as much as we could. Then they flew the dolphins, air freighted them out to Hawaii, and got the dolphins acclimated in Hawaii. Then they went on to Vietnam. But the amazing thing that I liked is I was working with all these scientists and engineers. In later years, I see working on projects that are science fiction, on documentaries on the History Channel or in books and whatever, the real story about the hunt for Red October. I worked with a lot of those guys.
Yeah. Stuff you think was science fiction, it turns out to be true. I mean, look at Jurassic Park. You know, they bring back this deadly thing. And then it turns out that Fauci and them are giving money to Red China to create a virus that's a lot more deadly than Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know? I mean, it's it's crazier than what Fauci did. And the Democrats with the Red Chinese, it was crazier than Jurassic Park. And it was true. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. 603 says, that Nazi tattoo goes a lot further than Pete Hegg says. The Democrats have been yelling for 10 years that Trump is Hitler reborn and a Nazi himself. But now a Nazi tattoo is perfectly acceptable. Well, Pete Hegseth, it's not a Nazi tattoo. It's the old Jerusalem cross. It's from the Crusades. That's that thing that Plattner's got, that is That's a death's head tattoo from the SS, which is not the Wehrmacht, which was the regular army. It's not the Luftwaffe. Those are the stormtroopers. Those are Antifa. Those are the FBI under Joe Biden. They're the secret police. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Howie, I've been listening off and on this afternoon. Number one, could you repeat that judge's name who let the Dominican murderer go? And then the other point is, with regards to Iran developing a nuclear weapon, their religious leaders have made it clear that they're looking forward to Armageddon and the 12th Imam coming down from heaven. And, you know, I've tried to explain this to highly educated white liberals that call me an Islamophobe. And I'm not an Islamophobe. I have a rational fear of Islamists that are looking forward to bringing on the rapture. That's not abnormal on my part. And all I can tell you that with regards to Pete Hegseth, a guy that I went to high school with that later worked for the Associated Press, sent me in private instant messages, Pete Hegseth is a white supremacist, white Christian national because of those crosses.
Right.
You know, he's just ridiculous.
So what is Plattner?
It's obvious the guy had
the Jerusalem cross is near beer compared to the death head, which is grain alcohol, 200 proof. I mean, that's the difference.
All I can say with liberals, all I can say is Robert Byrd was a Grand Kliegel, a recruiter, senator from West Virginia. As long as he begs for forgiveness, they'll look past the sins, and Al Sharpton is a classic example of that, that made vile remarks about Jews, Chinese people, and Greek theologians, where he called them Greek homos at a pulpit back in 1984. But now he's a moral leader of the American left. So, you know, as long as you just change your stripes, you're no longer a leopard. It's unbelievable. But anyway,
thanks.
Could you name that woman, please?
Sorry. Her name is Melissa Dubois, D-U-B-O-S-E. Melissa Dubose. And she's the one who ruled against Representative Libby, Laura Libby, up in Maine. She's the one who said she was in her Marxist phase, and Senator Kennedy asked her about it, and she didn't explain it very well. She's just the ultimate DEI hire among so many others from the dementia Joe Biden junta that misruled the country so grievously for 4 years. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com, localsilvermint.com. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at howiecarshow.com, is what should U.S. do next in Iran? Restart bombing now and finish the job? Continue the blockade a while longer? Continue the blockade indefinitely, or declare victory and go home?
Continue it a while longer. Not forever, but a while longer.
19% of the audience agrees with you there. 15% say continue the blockade indefinitely. 5% say declare victory and go home. And 61% say restart bombing now and finish the job.
All right. 844-500-4242. 42. You know, they people are texting and saying that the Defense Department has been, or the War Department, whatever you want to call it, has been using dolphins since at least 1959. And, you know, that made me think about dogs being used, you know, and how there was just a case earlier this week. The Israelis, you know, they're clearing out these savages in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah. And they got into this building, and they thought there were some of the fiends were inside. So they had a dog, and they sent the dog in, and the dog starts barking. He found him. And you know what the Hezbollah people did? They shot the dog. They killed the dog. You know what the Israelis did? They just pulled back, and they radioed the airstrike. And they killed those six terrorists who killed the dog. They're all dead, too. So nice. It was so nice. Sad. I felt bad for the dog, but I like seeing the IDF footage of the building being destroyed. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Howie, did you miss me? I haven't talked to you in 10 years. Pat from Vermont, how you doing?
Boy, that's good. I'd forgotten all about you, Pat, I hate to say. I'm sorry to admit that, but that's great. I'm glad you're back.
Nice feelings. Oh, I am. I didn't even realize what station you're on up here. I figured it out, and now I can listen to it. Not as long as I used to, but I still do, and I enjoy your show a lot. I wish you'd come up here once in a while.
We tried last year, but they couldn't get us a venue, proper venue. So maybe we'll get up there still. Go ahead, Pat, though. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, we got... Oh, nice talking to you. Hey, you know, here's the thing with the gerrymandering. It just warms the cockles of my heart to see the shoe on the other foot. Isn't that nice? I mean, yeah. I like to see what's been done to us for how many decades now? You know, and right now, how many seats are we going to gain because of this?
I know. And you know, I'm so happy too, Pat. And I think that I helped get the word out. You know, New England, 40% of the electorate, 6 states voted for Trump, and we have 0 congressmen out of 21. And I'm glad everybody's figuring that out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about time. And it's not just here. Look, you know, in the other states, too, what's happening with that. It's going to wind up in a lot of seats. I mean, we can gain a lot of seats in the House and maybe the Senate, too, you know?
Well, not the Senate, but I'm glad. I'm so glad DeSantis. You know, it did. You know, this happened. That vote was last week, and the Florida legislature. It took them less than a week to go back into a special session in Tallahassee, and I'm just keeping my fingers crossed down here, Pat, that I'm going to lose my Democrat Congresswoman, Lois Frankel. She went to BU like AOC. You can see why I want to get rid of her, right, Pat?
yeah.
plus she's old. I think she's older than Janet Mills. Not as old as Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, but older than Janet Mills. Thanks for the call, Pat, and don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger, okay? 844-500-4242. Pat, Philip, I got about 30 seconds here. Go ahead.
Hi, Howie. I just wanted to briefly add with Graham Plattner. He was stationed in Croatia. And he said he got that tattoo there. During World War II, the Ustasha ran a concentration camp in Croatia, and they also used that symbol.
Yeah, I know. And he tells different stories. He's a history buff, but he didn't know what it meant. And now he says, well, I did know what it meant, but I had PTSD. So which is it? Get your story straight there, Oyster Fuhrer. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Watching Trump from the Villages, he's really on fire. He's having a good time this afternoon, talking about the cognitive tests and everything else. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he's got to make another speech tonight in West Palm. I just don't know how he can keep going like that. You know, it's not, you know, it's not like he's just making some, you know, pro forma remarks, you know. He's like really just, you know, doing a stand-up routine here for the voters in the Villages, which is obviously one of his, it's a big Trump area. But, you know, he's just, he's almost 80 and he keeps going. Anyway, I want to read some of this story. Did we tweet this
it's
out?
It's been, yep, it's been posted on X, yep.
And this is a good story, and if you want to learn more about this guy, this is a good way to just get a sampling of his absurdity. The Absurd Rise of Graham Plattner. It's by Jim Garrity, National Review Online. And he says he's been joking about it. But Graham Plattner's de facto primary win is actually dark, depressing, and sad. You could make a compelling argument that anti-Semitism was actually Plattner's biggest strength in the short-lived Democrat Senate primary. This is what Phil Klein, another guy at National Review, wrote. On one occasion, he promoted a social media post from the neo-Nazi Holocaust denier, Stu Peters. He also sat for a lengthy interview with anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist Nort Cornacchia, claiming he was a longtime fan. He has described the U.S.-Israel relationship as shameful and praised a violent Hamas attack on Israel in 2014. He's not remarkably accomplished. He comes from a privileged background. His dad bought him his house. In his early appearances, it was clear he didn't know how the Senate appropriations process works. Out of nowhere, seemingly apolitical magazines like Bon Appetit started publishing glowing, soft-focus profiles about this guy. But there's also something absurd about the rapid rise of Plattner after the revelation last October that he had a death's head tattoo of the Nazi SS on his chest for 18 years. It was not until, this is what he said when the controversy emerged, it was not until I started hearing from reporters and D.C. insiders that I realized this tattoo resembled a Nazi symbol. I absolutely would not have gone through life having this on my chest if I knew that. And to insinuate I did is disgusting. This is not how all of Plattner's old acquaintances remember it, and his former political director said he told her he had a problematic tattoo in the summer of 2025. A glowing New Yorker profile of Plattner described the candidate as, quote, a precocious reader. He's 40 years old. How could he be precocious? Oh, I guess when he was a kid. He devoured books on military history, especially the American Civil War, and watched Ken Burns' documentary series about the conflict on television. It would seem a bit odd, says Jim Garrity, that a military history buff would look in the mirror for 18 years and not recognize the symbol of the SS, recognizable to anyone who's ever watched any World War II movie, or the hilarious Are We the Baddies British comedy sketch. Luke Winkie of Slate says, are you really going to reprimand Trump's fascist leanings with a Totenkopf, a death's head tattoo on your chest? Where do we draw the line on who gets invited into the big tent? I've got an idea. This is the guy from Slate. How about we draw the line at Nazi tattoos? I think we can all agree on that. No, I guess we can't. We can't. But he's going after every other interest must be sublimated to the ultimate goal, says Jim Garrity, of defeating those menacing extremist Republicans who many Democrats would insist are the real fascists, including in this particular case, Senator Susan Collins. Her lifetime ACU, that's American Conservative Union rating, 43 out of 100. The only person seriously calling Graham Plattner a communist around here is, checks notes, himself. But that was a long time ago, in 2021. He was an immature youth. It was an indiscretion, youthful indiscretion at the age of 37. Then he pointed, remember the okay hand gesture? It was a symbol of hate. I stopped making it on the camera. I didn't want anyone to do a freeze frame and call me a Nazi. I still don't do it. I won't do it. For a while there, says Jim Garrity in National Review, the OK hand gesture was listed as a symbol of hate and something that could put you under suspicion of being a closeted white nationalist. But getting a tattoo of a symbol of the SS on your chest is now allegedly no reason for suspicion. It illuminates the degree to which many players on our political scene now use the Nazi as a synonym for, quote, someone I disagree with at the moment. And this, the reason this is a good story is it goes over what a lot of people have been saying. You know, normal people as well as fluffers for the Democrat Party. Now, here's one of them right now, a fluffer for the Democrat Party, Michelle Goldberg, writing in the New York Times today about Maine Democrats' enthusiastic support of Plattner. As America slips deeper into social and economic crisis, are we really slipping deeper? The electorate might gravitate towards leaders offering far-reaching solutions. Far-reaching solutions. Garrity says, I don't know about you, but I really don't like hearing the term far-reaching solutions when discussing a guy with a Nazi tattoo. Yeah, it sounds a little too much like final solutions, doesn't it? Progressive columnist Will Bunch, this is in the Philadelphia Inquirer, said, if anything, the furor over the Nazi tattoo probably helps Plattner in a weird way, as voters are rebelling against those despised elites trying to police what's acceptable and telling them whom they can vote for. He has only risen in the polls since the first report about his Nazi tattoo. And Garrity says this, I couldn't agree with him more. If saying that you shouldn't vote for a guy who has a Nazi tattoo and an implausible story about how he accidentally got it and somehow never noticed it makes me one of those despised elites who are trying to police what's acceptable and telling them who they can vote for, then fine, I guess I'm a despised elite. It makes two of us. At some point, some things are disqualifying, aren't they? I mean, if he just said I was drunk as a skunk and I didn't know what it meant and all this, but he's equivocating. He has multiple stories, like Elizabeth Warren, his soulmate, who came up to Portland to endorse him. You know, she's got all these stories about why she called herself an Indian. He's got all kinds of stories about why he got this tattoo. Joe and Mika had Plattner on this morning. Joe was drooling and Mika was glowing. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you, Howie, it's good to hear Pat's voice again.
Yeah, it is.
Number one. You know, you and I have been talking for years and years. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a retired 12-year Marine. In a 15-year contractor for the Department of Defense, Langley, and Proggy Bottom. Now, I want to say something, and I usually don't talk about another guy's military service, but let me tell you something. If I was running for the U.S. Senate at his age, let me tell you, when you're in combat with guys, it forms a lifetime bond. Now, not one guy from his Marine Corps or Army unit has showed up in Maine to do an ad, to knock on doors, to be seen with him. I just want the veterans in Maine to understand what I'm saying. This guy's a fraud. You understand this? Out there, if he served here or there. Look, I did three tours in Vietnam. I served in Operation Urgent Fury in Grenada, and I served in Operation Just Cause in Panama. That's how long I did it. Now, we had PTSD, but I got news for you. That's why they bounced him out of the Marine Corps for the tattoo. That's why he went to the Army. And when you switch branches, you don't do the physical you would to get in, so they probably never noticed the tattoo. But he kept it. He kept it. You know, if I woke up drunk, Howie, now for three tours. And I went to Bangkok, and I got a North Vietnamese tattoo put on my chest. I got to tell you, just imagine, okay? That's how stupid and ridiculous this is.
Imagine, hey, Mike, imagine if Pete Hegseth, instead of having a Jerusalem cross tattoo, which he was crucified for, if he'd had an SS tattoo. You think they would be bending over backwards to explain it all away? You think they'd be swooning on MSNBC?
Not only that, you know, Howie, we have a great woman up here. I disagree with her on a lot of issues, but I'll tell you, she's the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Now, are you guys willing to trade this for a guy that's not going to be able to find the bathrooms down there? Let me clue you. They will eat him up and spit him out down there before he even gets his feet on the ground. So wake up, Maine.
Yeah, but all he said today, maybe I didn't know where he said it, but I guess all he said today was they're just going to go after Trump. They're going to subpoena everybody in the White House, all the Republicans, if they take over the Senate. And that's all they care about, Mike. They don't care about prosperity or getting gas prices back down or preventing a nuclear holocaust at the hands of the mullahs. They don't care. They don't care about closing the borders and safe streets and cutting the welfare rolls. They don't care about any of that stuff. It's all about getting Trump. That's all they care about.
It's I served under a lot of presidents, from Johnson, you know, all the way to Reagan and the early Bush years. And I got to tell you, I have never seen a hate for one of our presidents that I've seen with this. I just got to tell you, you know, and I served under a lot of presidents. They were Republican, they were Democrats. It didn't matter. When I got the go order, I went, regardless.
Yeah.
And they need to stop this. This is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen. And it's getting
You say none of his fellow Marines have come up to campaign for him. How about any of his fellow preppies from the Hotchkiss School? Have they come up to support him? I don't think they've even come up, have they?
Well, because he doesn't have a last name with two of them, you know what I mean? he's got a problem with his last name.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Spring has sprung, so it's time for you to think about that. About you. Wherever you are in New England, Perfect Smiles is so worth the trip to tax-free Salem, New Hampshire. In April, listeners from Westford, Mass. And Keene, New Hampshire travel to meet Dr. Tam and Dr. Sy's team because they wanted to go to the best dental practice in New England. I know how good Perfect Smiles is because I've been going there forever, and my teeth look better than ever, if I do say so myself. My first appointment at Perfect Smiles is a week from today, Friday, May 8th. Getting your teeth checked is critical to staying healthy. You need those regular checkups. Listeners who've tried Perfect Smiles have found out for themselves just how good Perfect Smiles is and how much a smile transformation can mean to them, both professionally and personally. Go to PerfectSmiles.com and check out the before and after photos. You will be amazed. A smile makeover gives you the confidence that makes everything so much easier. There is a reason why we say Perfect Smiles, change your smile, change your life. It truly does. Recently, a neighbor had a friend who went in for a routine checkup and they found a lump under his tongue. Oral care is critical to your health. I'll say it again, you need to get checked and keep up your cleanings as well. Visit PerfectSmiles.com today and upgrade your life. That's PerfectSmiles.com or call them at 603-595-6699. Change your smile, change your life. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Indiana. Indiana wants me. Lord, I can't go back there. Two Honduran illegal aliens. We're doing just some simple drive-by shootings in, on an interstate in Indiana last weekend because, you know, they're just bringing their quaint third world culture to the heartland. Cut one.
State police believe Ramos Posadas is the one who actually fired the shots while riding in the passenger seat with his friend who didn't have a license doing the driving. According to this affidavit, the two suspects confessed the road rage incident began when the other vehicle brake checked them and the shots fired were to scare the other driver. State police said the case illustrates how traffic cameras have made it easier than ever to hold suspects accountable for their reckless behavior on the interstates. They urge everyone to stay calm and be patient behind the wheel.
The key is to disengage. If you find yourself in a road rage situation,
if you find yourself in a road with an illegal alien,
disengage right away because
they're all armed.
Bad things. And what we see time and time again
are these road rage encounters
leading immediate to deadly violence.
In addition to the felony charges against the suspected shooter, Ramos Posadas, the 19-year-old, is also being held on a federal detainer for immigration-related issues. He remains behind bars at the Marion County Jail without bond pending an initial hearing. Jesse Wells, Fox 59 News.
How could that be? How could that be? I wonder if they were on their way to work on Saturday afternoon when they were firing shots at the American woman. So apparently Trump was he was greeted at the airport this afternoon by Ron DeSantis, who's term limited. He's a lame duck. He did a great job with the redistricting, but he's going to be needing a new job come January. So he's looking ahead. And there's a headline in the New York Post that President Trump is thinking of appointing him to some job. I would think Attorney General would be the one that he would like to go for, you know, because he's a lawyer. And he's really been a great governor. And it was scary when that crackhead gay mayor of Tallahassee, who had the FBI posse chasing him, almost beat him in 2018. Very, very, very disturbing. But you know, he got in, and it's been off to the races. So this is Governor DeSantis talking about Hakeem Jeffries, saying "bleep around, find out, cut," and he's. Well, you listen for yourself. Cut two.
We're going to do maximum warfare against Republicans. Florida Republicans, you F around, you're going to find out all this stuff. And, you know, what I said was, listen. And he's like, oh, if you do the redistricting, we're going to take out all your members. We're going to do all this stuff. And what I said was, go ahead. Make my day. You don't think we're going to. You want to come down here and spend money in Florida? Roll the dice and take your chances, but don't think that you can come down here, issue threats to us, and somehow you're going to make us flinch. That is not happening. And in fact, it did not happen, because as soon as he came out and started doing that last week, Florida legislature turned around and they passed a new map.
God bless them. It's nice to live in America. I'm Howie Carr.